Monsoon, a program by Julian Crandall-Hollick.
Monsoon is not another word for rain. As its original Arabic name, mawsam, indicates, it is a season. There's a summer monsoon as well as a winter monsoon. But it is only the southwest winds of summer that make a mawsam, the season of rains.
Winter monsoon is simply rain in winter. It is like a quick shower on a cold and frosty morning. It leaves you chilled and shivering. Yes, it is good for the crops, but people pay for it to end. Luckily, it does not last very long.
June the 3rd. Tiwari prefers driving at night and it's cooler. So we left Delhi for Kanpur around 4 p.m. on the old GT road via Alagar Netta. We stopped at a dhaba for chai around 9:30 and the car wouldn't restart. Tiwari eventually stuffed a rag in somewhere and the engine, of course, then started immediately. Near Kanpur, quite a lot of tree limbs were down and the road was wet. The air was also much cooler. We were rattling along about half an hour behind a dust storm. Finally, we reached Kanpur and got to bed around 3 a.m. Now, we just have to sit or sleep and wait.
Waiting for the monsoon in May and early June is exhausting. Shade shrinks and all but disappears. Gentle breezes become merely a memory. The sun never seems to go down.
And it seems to lick the few drops of dew before the fevered earth can even moisten its lips. It just blazes away all day long in a cloudless sky, drying up every smidgen of moisture, burning and scorching everything.
You wait for it for so many months. As soon as the summers come in April, you start dreaming of the monsoon. April, May, heavy. The heat of June is killing, and you are waiting and waiting for the monsoons.
Here, actually, the great dividing thing is the monsoon. And the whole waiting for the rains, it's the most dramatic thing that happens in India. And I suppose also in an agricultural society, it is so crucial to existence that it is highly dramatized, the whole wait for the rain.
Only a person who lives in India, especially North India, will understand what rains means to a man who has to survive in the temperatures of 44 or 45 degrees every day. So rains are beautiful.
By mid-June, I start physically panting for the monsoon, even though I'm not a person who minds the heat too much.
People used to have their love sessions in those tehkhanas, and we young boys and girls used to watch what was happening underground. In fact, a lot of amorous meetings used to take place because all the people were underground during those hot summer days. But everybody was waiting for the monsoon. Everybody was praying for the monsoon.
There's a terrible sense of waiting for something that's not happening. I can't describe it. I mean, it's just really, it's a terrible feeling. It's like you're going to burst, you know? It's very unbearable. Just this blue, harsh sky and that sun just pouring down and the earth cracking, you know. It's horrible. Look, there's some lightning.
June the 8th. There was breeze today, but the wrong sort of breeze. The sort of wind that can drive you quite literally mad.
The sun makes an ally of the breeze. It heats the air until it becomes the loo. Even in the intense heat, the loo's caresses are sensuous and pleasant. It brings up prickly heat and produces a numbness which makes the head nod and the eyes heavy with sleep. And for the old, it can bring on a stroke that takes its victims as gently as a breeze bears a fluff of thistledown.
Loo winds come from the deserts of Rajasthan. Now, the locals call this final period of intense heat Megasa. It begins at the full moon and lasts 15 days. The farmers have many sayings about the Megasa. That the sun is so hot that deer turn black. That any raindrops that fall during this period are golden drops. Pure sarcasm. Golden drops spell disaster. You see, a good monsoon needs the land to be as hot and dry as possible, to create a vacuum that will suck in the wet, cool rain clouds from the Arabian Sea and up into the Gangetic Plains. Premature rains means the real thing goes off at half cock.
पहले बार स्कूल का नाम रामशंकर है और इसे छुन्नर लोग कहते हैं
छुन्नर
छुन्नर यहाँ मतलब एक पीढ़ी तो हमारी हो ही चुकी दो तीन पीढ़ी संलग है शुरू से पैदा इसी खानदान मतलब यहीं इसका है
माय नेम इज रामचंद्र बट एवरीबॉडी कॉल्स मी छुन्नर आई हैव बीन बोर्न इन दिस विलेज एंड आई हैव ऑलवेज लिव्ड हियर
रेत में तरबूज खरबूजा ककड़ी करेला
We work in the sandy soil. We grow watermelons, cantaloupes, and different kinds of gourd.
You mean in the soil of the riverbed of the Ganga?
Went to meet Chunna at his house in Bittor village this afternoon. Bittor is about 15 miles northwest of Kanpur on the banks of the Ganga. Chunna says the heat this year is later and worse than normal.
Otherwise, you don't feel like sleeping because it's so hot.
And are you looking forward to the rains coming?
Yes, desperately we've been waiting for the rains.
If the rains are late, does that affect your crop?
Asar ye khada padega ki jab barish late hogi to aage hum log kaam karne wale singhara bote hain us talabon mein pani bhi nahi hai.
Yes, if the rains are late then it is going to affect our lives because once we stop the farming on the sand, the next stage is that we go in for a different crop which is dependent on lake water and the rains. And if the rains are late, we can't do it in time.
Chunna says it's cooler here in Bittor than in the city. There are plenty of trees to give shade, and there's also a breeze off the Ganga. Chunna goes to get his boat ready. That's how he earns a living in the rainy season. While we watch the kids washing their buffaloes in the river. Lots of people still come to worship at the temples in Bittor because it's supposed to be the place where Brahma finished creating the universe. The sages became worried.
Master, how will man come to know that Brahma actually created the universe here?
So Brahma placed his wooden sandals by the riverside. The sandals sank. But the nail between the big toe and the smaller toes did not get washed away. And there it is, smack bang in the middle of the gut that leads down to the Ganga. And that's why people come here. In the afternoon, I paid a visit to Harish Shankar Shukla. He's the senior pundit in Bittur. I wanted to be reassured that divine intervention is on hand, if needed.
If the rains are late, are there special pujas or ceremonies that you as a
recite the Shiv Purana? That's what he recommends. You see, Shiv's wife, Parvati, begged her husband to tell her a particular story she really wanted to hear. Shiv said, okay, but you must give me your third eye in exchange. You see, its heat is scorching the earth and destroying everything that's living. Parvati reluctantly agreed, and Shiv was so full of happiness that he gave the appropriate thanks.
And so it rained.
So now the sannyasis and pandits get together and they commit yajnas, and a number of pandits get together and they burn a number of things in that, like ghee, and they commit sacrifices. And it's said that the fumes which come out of the fire, they rise up in the skies, and that causes rain, that causes humidity, and that's why it rains. Today, like the coming days of the 19th, this month, a star is gonna shine that is known as Adran Naksh, Nakshatra, which will, and on that day, on the 19th, I guarantee you, as being a pandit, that as it's written in the Vedas, that it will rain that day. And so that day, you can come to me anytime. I'm always welcome to you.
I should be dancing in the rain.
Yes, even I'll dance with you.
This is a very... Well, this line obviously hasn't been used at all for a long time. Good morning to you, sir.
Basti mein kareeb 136-137 ghar hain.
June the 15th. This morning I went to the railway slum dwellers colony in Savodhyanagar. Now, there's a railway line that runs behind expensive private houses, all with antenna dishes on their walls and Japanese cars in their driveways. On either side of the railway track are about 135 houses, which means about 2,000 people living in this particular basti. And it seems as if all 2,000 want to get in their 2 cents worth.
How do you keep cool, or can you keep cool in this sort of heat?
My name is Sushila. I live in the Kanpur Railway Slum Dwellers Colony. We have a major problem with electricity because though we do have a municipal lamppost, but it's not working most of the time. Even though we try to get it repaired, but all the time it's just out. We have to come and go in the darkness. You can't do anything. The children just go and sit under the trees. They sit in the shade and try to keep cool. Maybe they might get affected by the loo, but then they have to come out and sit for some kind of a breeze.
With the usual consequences, lots of sickness amongst the kids, made worse, of course, by the rains.
Rains are a problem. The minute it starts raining, our houses get flooded. There is no way that we can take the water out of here. Even we have to get up in our sleep and bail the water out of our houses. Even in midnight, we have to take up our things and dig a nali. And yet, we have to wade through water up to our knees.
How much water is there usually here? Are you underwater?
When it starts raining, we can get up to 2 feet of water in our houses. And if we are sleeping, suddenly we wake up to find that we are wet because of the water. Last time when it rained, we have tried to put up a small wall across the entrance of our houses. I don't know how much effective it will be in times of a real rain, but we've tried to have some preventive measures so that the water doesn't enter the house.
One woman called Leela is gently pushed forward by the others.
Take a look at this woman who's pregnant, and now it's so hot that I can't do anything to alleviate the heat or provide her with more water or provide her with any kind of a facility. She has to suffer through it.
And when is your baby due?
Just 1 month to go.
Yeah. Not fun. Not fun.
June the 19th. Still no sign of the monsoon. And today is the day, according to the pundit. Without fail, rain or shine.
It's been one of the worst days of this season, at least for this last week. One could easily say that this was the worst day. Everybody felt the oppression, and coupled with the fact that there's a lot of electricity breakdowns, it was completely awful. One couldn't even rest because the moment one lay down with the fan on, it would go off.
June the 23rd. It seems to be raining everywhere but here. But the wind's picking up, and you can tell the birds are agitated, so maybe something is finally going to happen. And inky black clouds are racing in from the west. I want those clouds to rain directly on me. Please, clouds. Please.
Attitude towards clouds is fundamentally different from that of the Westerner. To the one, clouds are a symbol of hope, to the other, of despair. The Indian scans the heavens, and if clouds blot out the sun, his heart fills with joy. The Westerner looks up, and if there is no silver lining edging the clouds, his depression deepens. The Indian talks of someone he respects and looks up to as the great shadow, like the one cast by the clouds when they cover the sun. The Westerner, on the other hand, looks on a shadow as something evil and refers to someone of dubious character as a shady type.
Dark rain clouds are synonymous with Lord Krishna. In fact, one of Krishna's other names is Ghanashyam. Shyam means the dark one. So when a woman sings to a rain cloud, she might be singing about something else entirely.
Do you know, Shyam? I saw a rain cloud bursting, and I burst into tears myself. The clouds massed black and grey, and it rained for hours on end. Wherever I look, there's water. Nothing but water. My love, you've gone away. And here I am, soaking wet. Standing, just waiting for you.
The coal-black clouds came rushing in. The peacocks screamed, the frogs croaked. The earth was tense, just about out of patience, holding its breath. Scratching herself with a back scratcher, my pious sister-in-law declared, "There will be a storm. The clouds will get to go wherever they want. You will have all the fun. You'll walk in the sand at the edge of the river with quivering lips and shining eyes. Rain showers will cool your body." That promiscuous east wind will caress you, make love to you. And the clouds will fawn over you, chase you with all the ardor of a father who suddenly sees a potential husband for his unmarried daughter. Oh yes, you will have all the fun, my pleasure-loving brother-in-law. I burst into laughter. The peacocks cried. I got goosebumps all over. The frogs started croaking, and my heart began to pound. The crickets began their shrill electric trill. I was on fire. And all the time, the black clouds came crowding in, more and more and more.
They don't make their own nests. They are parasites. They steal other birds' nests and lay their eggs in them, like this magpie, the pied-crested cuckoo, use the nests of these babblers and offload their bastard offspring on there, leave their eggs, hence being cuckolded. They can be very noisy. And the English have done him injustice by calling his cry brain fever. But once it gets into your head, you also think he's calling brain fever. Well, it's not. The Maharashtrian rendering of the cry is Pausala, which means the rains are coming.
Yesterday was a tease. It did not rain. And today it's very muggy again. This morning I felt absolutely without any get up and go, like a plant without water. Indu says it's because I'm losing too many salts when I sweat. She told me to go out and buy lots of bananas. I did, and I ate 6. And I feel like a new man, ready to face the heat and humidity again. But it would still be nice if I had a more reliable way of knowing when it's going to finally rain.
Naam Mohan Singh, kaam kheti ka hai, jameen hen par to is jagah par 45 biga hai.
My name is Mohan Singh. I'm a farmer. My land is about 45 bighas. This is on Kalyanpur Road, near Kanpur.
So this afternoon I went out towards Bitror, where Mohan Singh was doing some last minute repairs to a tube well.
What does this weather tell you?
At the moment, I feel it's not going to come very soon. There's still time to come.
When you say very soon, what? 10 days? 2 weeks?
I feel it's not very predictable. And for the moment, we are irrigating by tube wells because I have to take care of my cattle to grow their feed, and I have to water it. I just can't depend on the rain.
Thank you. It has come. It has come. Around 2 in the morning.
The sky shuddered. The clouds groaned. A fork of lightning struck across the sky, and then the sky itself exploded.
The monsoon is like a crab. There's a western pincer that travels up the Ghats before swinging inland over Rajasthan. And there's an eastern pincer that rides up the Bay of Bengal and then, in its turn, swings inland towards the Ganga and the heartland of northern India. And where they meet, there's a collision of almost cosmic proportions. In the west, we have sheet lightning and the sudden clap of thunder. But here it's rolling lightning and rolling thunder, as if the gods are playing a furious game of marbles. It never lets up, even to take breath. It just rumbles on and on and on.
The rain poured down, drumming on the corrugated roof. Rusty's vision was reduced to about 20 yards. It was as though the room had been cut off from the rest of the world by an impenetrable wall of water.
The sky was like a film set, totally lit up. No expense spared. No one worrying about the cost. I woke up around 9. It was a lovely blue spring sky, fair weather clouds racing across from left to right, and the air is fresh and cool. This afternoon, a lovely little spring shower. No more than 15 minutes, but all the kids and quite a few grown-ups went out and got soaked.
I like playing in the rain. We run about, splash, or fall down.
The boys around pick up snails and throw them around. That's the time when we yell and screech.
I can remember I and my sisters used to just rush out when the rains broke. And we used to love to get soaked. And our parents actually encouraged us. They said that rains were good for children's health, especially the first rains.
We pai zara holly holly, we holly manu gajira chada, hada we meri jind hunu hoye hava, we pai zara holly, o biba zara holly, o veera zara holly holly. Vihole manu gajra chada. Meri ghutnu.
It gives me a lot of thrill to see the rain. It makes me sing. When it starts raining, I start singing. It's as simple as that. I mean, I feel very thrilled. There's a lot of joy within you.
Meri patli kalai jandi tutve. Sometimes we play wrestling in the rain, in the mud. We destroy all the flowers. We jump on each other and sometimes we also play football in the mud and all our clothes get dirty and everything.
What about the smell of the first rain?
Oh, it's exotic smell. When the rain falls on the earth, it's a very earthy smell which... You just breathe in, you know, and it sort of rejuvenates and refreshes you.
And then when the monsoon came, first rains came, the smell of the mud, the smell of the land, the ground was so intoxicating. It was so beautiful that even at that age of 5 or 6, I used to get totally intoxicated. I used to become so romantic that even now I feel a thrill going through my body when I remember it.
It's basically the smell of very clean water falling on very dry earth. And the scent that comes out, it's difficult to describe because it's not musky like most Indian perfumes are. It's very fresh and it has a lovely earthy quality combined with this feeling of green, wet grass, you know. I think it's just possibly one of the best things about living in India is that scent.
In the market in Lucknow, I once bought a tiny bottle of the essence of wet earth. Today, I took out the stopper. And put it back up on the shelf. July the 3rd. One storm, two showers. Not bad, but it's not exactly the monsoon. Still, everyone seems happier, even the animals. This afternoon, I saw a peacock dancing in a field near Bittur, hopping to the rhythms of some inner music. And everywhere, the farmers are out in full force, ploughing and sowing.
Badal ne maar di barchi gaon ko. और फिर चला गया लेकिन कुछ हुआ नहीं चमकी थी बिजली सावन की रात में द क्लाउड हर्ल्ड अ बैनेट एट द विलेज एंड देन वेंट अवे बट नथिंग मच हैड हैपेंड लाइटनिंग हैड फ्लैश्ड ऑन अ रेनी नाइट
हमारा नाम पुत्तन है और रहते हैं टिक्कनपुरवा में
माय नेम इज पुत्तन एंड आई लिव इन टिक्कनपुरवा व्हिच इज इन बिठूर And I'm basically a contractor who farms on other people's lands. And we share the output 50-50. Last year, when we sowed wheat, there was too much of rain and we suffered losses because of that. We require rain to be moderate and be spread out evenly over a period of time. If there's two heavy showers consecutively, they do us a lot of damage. And if the monsoon comes late, the output is not as good. And we aren't able to earn that much out of our output.
Has it come on time? This year for you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, this is the perfect time for monsoon to set in.
Provided it keeps on raining steadily, right?
Well, we should expect an excellent crop if monsoon goes on like this. This is just brilliant. The ideal.
A nagging drizzle, interspersed by light to moderate showers, totally disrupted normal life in the city on Wednesday. Attendance was below normal in many government offices and banks, and most people remained indoors. Overflowing drains compounded the citizens' woes and revealed the hollowness of the Nagar Nigam's claims about desilting of drains. Sources in the Nagar Nigam told the Pioneer that the much-touted desilting drive launched in the beginning of this month has come a cropper, with the sweepers engaged for the purpose abandoning the work after a few days due to non-payment of their daily wages.
Hello, Leela.
Yes.
So how bad is it? Just one night's rain and it's already like this?
July the 4th. Why is it that Indian streets always seem to be planned without any idea of camber so that any water collects in the middle and can't run off? Now, getting to Safarjinagar should take 15 minutes. It was only a few inches of rain and that was yesterday. But the main road is now a succession of muddy lakes.
Yesterday was horrible. The rain was very bad, and as we told you earlier, this is just what we were waiting for. We were waiting for the wall to come down, and it did yesterday.
Where exactly does this water... It does go somewhere because it's flowing. Where does it go to?
Yesterday night, we dug out a channel, and it's flowing out on the road. We'd built some toilets and we'd put in a sewer line. Somebody opened a hole into the sewer line for the water to drain into. But now that sewer line is jammed because of all the dirt from the road. We have to have somewhere for the water to go after all. So we dug it yesterday night. Otherwise the water would come into the house.
What's your name?
Christopher.
Up the lane, Christopher is flying a kite, which is what a lot of people seem to be doing today.
So how come you're flying your kite today?
The rains have hampered our construction work, and as a result, I'm free today. I don't have any work to do today.
Does this happen often during the rain?
Not always, but once in a while, our work is hampered and we're left unemployed.
The man holding the string to Christopher's kite is his friend Dabu.
And are you off work today?
I help in the construction of these bus bodies. And I went to work today and I was told that it's been raining very heavily, so you won't be required today. So I'm just free today and I'm helping my friend fly kites.
When the bus factory, construction factory, doesn't ask you to come to work, presumably you don't get paid, right?
Yes, when I'm not able to work in the factory, I'm not paid and I've lost out on today's wages.
How many days on average do you think you lose?
About 2 to 2.5 months we're not able to work.
You mean the factory just shuts down?
Yes, the factory is shut down. And yes, our factories get waterlogged, and that's the main reason why we're not able to work. There's water all over the shop floor. The factories are not able to function anymore.
So the rains that the poets think are the best of times, for you are the worst of times?
Yes, definitely. For us, it's the worst of all the seasons. It causes us a lot of trouble.
July the 16th. It hasn't rained now for 10 days. Back to how it was in mid-June, as humid as it's hot, and the sky's an unhealthy milk white. Everybody needs some rain to brighten their mood. This morning I met a very old music teacher called Krishna Chandra Shukla. Everybody calls him Guruji. I asked Guruji about Rag Meghmalha because for many, Meghmalha is the monsoon.
It's a miraculous rag, and it can even cause rain and thunder.
Have you ever managed to cause it to rain?
Well, there have been instances when I've been doing a program, sitting in a room and singing, and it started to pour after some time.
Is there a particular words that you should sing that will create that magic?
Swar uske aise hote hain.
It's the notes in the music that have this power to sort of make it rain. Well, you'll start thinking that I sang and it started to rain. You'll think it's my miracle, but no, I'll think that it's God's miracle and I attribute it to God.
Well, it probably won't rain, so in which case your magic powers, you know, will not have been tested.
One thing I've already picked up on is how old-timers tell you monsoons today are not what they used to be. They always talk about enjoying the monsoon, but in the past tense. Now, someone suggested the air conditioner's to blame. You can simply stay indoors and tune out the monsoon and the rest of nature.
Has the monsoon changed its character over your lifetime?
Oh, there is a lot of difference. It's like day and night. And there really isn't any rain these days. There would be a little bit of shower here and there, a little bit of drizzling, but you just can't compare the two. That rain was absolutely different.
जगह जगह जंगल कट गए सब, उतनी बरसात थमती नहीं है, आई है निकल गई, ये सब हो रहा है.
The rains are much weaker now. The intensity has decreased. The quantity has decreased. And the rains just don't stay. All the forests have been cut down in all the places nearby. And the rains just come and they go away. They just don't stay. Well, it just can't be compared. Earlier on, the rains were much more intense and more voluminous.
So you think this is because there's been deforestation?
Yes, it's because of deforestation. Earlier on, there were lush green forests and the monsoons would stay and the earth would absorb more water and retain it. And the crop would be wonderful. But now things have changed.
Now, please take this on oath. About 2 minutes later, we start to hear raindrops on the skylight. Not much, but they're raindrops. It doesn't last more than a minute. And by the time I get outside, there isn't the trace of a cloud in the sky.
So, a miracle?
चमत्कार है ना?
It is a miracle.
खैर अभी था तो नहीं बरसात का उम्मीद. भाई सब रागों का चमत्कार होता है बिटिया.
All these miracles are because of the ragas. Each of the rag is based on a miracle. And this is the season for rag malhar and it rained.
Thundercloud, I think you're very naughty. You know quite well that I'm going out to meet my lover. So why do you want to scare me with your thunder? And now you're trying to caress me, to seduce me with your rain hands.
The imagery of the monsoon in Indian culture is blatant, erotic, and fun. Just look at any Indian miniature.
You'll see very, very voluptuous paintings associated with monsoon in which these ladies are sort of lying around with their legs apart, kind of a thing, to put it in a very crude fashion, but sensual, inviting positions. I think that this is a very ingrained thing. After all, rain has got to be the greatest symbol of fertility because it's the whole thing of re-fertilizing the soil and bringing forth a new harvest, bringing forth new life and all that.
When it's hot, people are cooped up in their huts or their homes. But when the monsoon breaks, then everybody's free to go out into the fields. And that freedom comes a freedom in which men and women are mingling. I think the poets know best about that.
My generation, and I think the younger one, they're all brought up at least on the song and dance. This is all Megh Malhar and Rag Desha and that kind of thing. And the most popular songs, even in classical music, are still connected with the monsoon. They're deeply entrenched in our psyche. For all literature, music, everything, it's the monsoon. All the folk songs are monsoon. All the lovemaking is monsoon.
बूंद अचानक लागी सखीरी बूंद अचानक लागी सखीरी बूंद अचानक लागे सोवत उठी मदन मगमागी बूंद अचानक लागे भागे
A single drop of rain suddenly fell on my cheek. I had fallen asleep after we'd made love. That drop and the clouds thundering woke me. I want to make love again.
I flew to Mumbai yesterday from Lucknow. It was almost the biggest mistake I've ever made. Both ways, we flew through the monsoon, or rather straight at it, at black cliffs of cloud, high and thick as the eye could see. And the 737 simply bounced off them, and then it staggered. The right engine was hit by lightning. I swear I saw flames for a few seconds. We started to plunge. I felt sad and angry that I'd never had a chance to properly say goodbye to my wife. And then, it seemed like 2 minutes, it was probably much less. The pilot got control again, we levelled off, and suddenly we were flying in peaceful blue sky, racing along so fast that a 2-hour flight reached Mumbai in just 1 hour and 15 minutes. July the 23rd. This morning I read some medieval Sanskrit poems. They were bittersweet and wonderful. About viyog, or separation, about men longing for women, and then about women longing for men, at least during the rainy season.
At night the rain came, and the thunder deep rolled in the distance. And he could not sleep, but tossed and turned with long and frequent sighs. And as he listened, tears came to his eyes. And thinking of his young wife left alone, he sobbed and wept aloud until the dawn.
Without you, Krishna, I simply cannot sleep. I'm lonely. I just can't sleep. The flames of love are driving me wild. Without the light of your love, my house is dark. These lamps do not please me anymore. Without you here, my bed is uninviting. I pass the nights awake. When are you going to come back? The frogs are croaking. I can hear the peacock cry and the quail sing. Low black clouds gather. Lightning flashes. God, I'm scared. My eyes are full with tears. Help me, Krishna. My body has been bitten by the snake of absence. There's nothing left for me. Which one of you will go and find my Hari and bring him back to me? Oh, my Lord, when will you come? When will you come to meet your Meera?
And some of the poems are about savyog, or reunion, about the happiness of lovers who are lucky enough to be together during the rainy season.
Rain, barsat, is my memory of my first love, memory of my childhood. When I'm dying, I'm on my deathbed, I remember one thing, that is barsat.
Heavy rain keeps lovers trapped inside their houses. In the shivering cold, a lord is embraced by his long-eyed maid. And a cool wind breathes new desire. As they rest happily exhausted, even a dreary day is fair. For favored men who nestle in lovers' arms.
When the first dewdrops from the lips of my beloved touched me,
when I myself turned into drops of life and entered the body of my beloved, I remember Barsat.
Come, cloud, fill yourself with water and come closer. See, my friends, the raindrops are falling. Listen to the koels sing. A sweet breeze is playing to the music of thunder. The sky is pregnant with clouds. Today my lover will come to me. I've prepared my bed for him. And you, my friends, won't you sing a song for him? Oh, hurry, only a few hours more.
When I come to the fag end of my life and I want to just live in memories, beautiful and good memories, I remember the only memories I can live with, survive with, and which act as the nectar of life are the memories of Barsat.
The question is, does any of this have any relevance to the reality of the rainy season today?
I think the romance of the monsoon probably lasts a day or two, and then it becomes pretty monotonous after that. And, well, maybe in ancient times when people lived in forests, there were no large cities, it might have been conducive to a little more romance. But certainly in our huge and ever-growing urban areas, it's a job just sometimes getting out of your house and getting to the office across a flooded road.
August the 1st. On and off weather this past fortnight. First 10 days, very spotty and very humid. Then last week, it started raining steadily and heavily. This morning, I went towards Bittor to visit Putan the sharecropper to see how he's making out.
There has been plentiful rainfall after I met you last.
पानी के जरिए से ना जो खाली खेत हैं उनमें जो नुकसान हुआ है और जो ऊंचे पर खेत हैं उनको तो फसल अच्छी
Well, if we compare ourselves to the rest of the farmers in Bittur, we've certainly been at a loss because our farms are predominantly at a lower level. So the water clogging is more intense here and as a result of which our crop hasn't been so good. I mean, the other farms have produced better crop.
नहीं तो एक चीज में जो है नुकसान होगा पता नहीं जो बारिश में हुआ हुआ ना हुआ अब देखा था आपने जो ना खीरा तो बिल्कुल चले गए लोबिया में पानी भर गया सब चला गया
What if it rains too much or the rain is not suitable for one particular crop? In that case, I mean, if we concentrate on just one crop, we might end up losing everything. So we have to distribute our output in various things. For example, the cucumber and the lobia that we were in the process of sowing when we met you last has neither of them has grown. I mean, they've just vanished and we've had a loss on that score. So we can't afford to put all our eggs in one basket.
Then in the evening, we went for a little picnic to Bittur. It was pitch black. There was no electricity. We took a little boat along the river in the dark. That was very magical. The boatman was, of course, very confident, and he rowed about 10 of us who just sat on this very wobbly boat. But it was cool and silent, and the sky was dark because there was no moon then, no stars because it was clouded. And when we came downriver again back to the ghat of Bittur, he went further midstream and let the boat just go along with the flow. And it was breezy and very pleasant, and you could see the river just stretching far into the distance, kind of like a mirror in the dark landscape. I feel happy.
August the 19th. It's been raining on and off for more than 10 days now. This morning at 8 a.m. I went to the ghats in Bittur to watch the children from Chuna's village celebrate Nagpanchmi. But the real action was down at the edge of the Ganga, which was now in flood, and the base of the Ghats was under 4 foot of muddy Ganga. The Dobiwala was still bashing the Ghats out of a pile of dirty laundry. And above me, boys were crawling along the limbs of a peepal tree and then diving into the Ganga to great howls of encouragement from their mates. While Chuna was starting to sound positively middle-aged.
Nowadays it's not the same thing at all. Earlier people used to be very fond of all these festivals and they would come in groups singing and having a good time, but now you hardly see anybody at the ghats. People are now not so clean in their hearts.
In Kanpur today it's also good year when boys fly their kites. But there's no sign of a kite here in Bittur.
On Nagpanchmi Day, at least in our village, we don't have much kites in town. Yes, they do, and on Sundays, because it's holidays, people come from the town and fly kites, but we don't, not really.
What they do here is something politically incorrect and definitely gender insensitive.
All the small girls come with little cloth dolls and they play with them for a little while and then they throw them in the Ganges and the boys thrash them with neem branches and everybody has some sweets to eat and then they go back home and have a good time.
And I mean a really good time. Unfortunately, Chuna doesn't seem to know why the boys beat the living daylights out of girl dolls. His friend Ramesh claims that Krishna had gone to worship the chief snake on Nagpanchmi and he brought home some female snakes. But everyone at home was scared stiff and said these female snakes would bite them. So the snakes were beaten until they slunk away into the Ganga. And Ramesh says you don't see so many snakes after Nagpanchmi because they're all in hiding and licking their wounds.
At 5 in the morning when I went out again, it was very pleasant. There was a lovely breeze. It was more like a classical easterly breeze that comes in the monsoon, something known as Purvaiya. And it just felt so right. You know, that's how it should have been for all this time.
August the 25th. Had a picnic Sunday evening in Bittur. Now this is what respectable Kanpur families do in the month of Savan. And Geeta showed me how to make pakoris. You take slices of onion or potato with green mirchi or chili. You stuff them into a loose gram batter and dip the mix into boiling hot oil. And they puff up in 10 seconds and that's how you eat them, piping hot straight off the stove. Pakoris are part and parcel of the rituals and customs associated with Savan. For example, young brides in the first year of their marriage are sent back for the entire month to their parents' house, which may not be much of a sacrifice, but married Hindu wives eat stale food or basi khana, while the men get hot, fresh food. And the wives also fast on Mondays for their husbands or their sons or their fathers, while the men just go on eating. And in Bittur, a couple of the pundits told me that Brahmins are not supposed to cut their hair or their fingernails during Savan or to have sex for the entire month, out of respect for Shiva.
The damage caused in the bazaars by the floods here has been very heavy, and at present it is difficult to estimate its extent. Kanpur received in 48 hours about half its average annual rainfall. A few people have been killed and many have been injured. Houses have collapsed all over the city, and much livestock has been destroyed. And for a short time during the storm, telephone lines were disrupted, but service was later renewed.
September the 8th. I finally managed to find a way through the floods to the railway slum dwellers in Savarjanagar. The place is a disaster. Walls, rooms, entire houses have collapsed because of the rains. The first person I want to see is Leela.
A relative's son committed suicide. He ate some poison and I went to the autopsy. And I just come back.
To find a right mess.
My house, the smaller room, has just caved in. And I don't think even you are going to help. You just come here and you go off. That's about it. The last week it rained every day and all the time everybody was wet. We don't have that many changes of clothing. All our clothes are wet. We have to sit down in wet clothes. And that results in fever, vomiting, headaches. My daughter still has fever. She's standing here but she's running a temperature. And my son and another daughter are lying at home. They have fever.
And then we're carted off to see Sushila's house.
Went for a walk, and on the way back it started drizzling a little bit. It was around 6:15 in the morning, and just as you came back home, it really came down, so we couldn't resist sitting in a living room with all the doors open, even though some of the rain came into the house, and just watched it pour over the garden, over the huge peepal tree, and which was swaying in the breeze, and it was simply exactly what we've been waiting for. And it rained quite a bit that morning.
This is my house, and I have also put plastic sheets.
पूरे मकान में पानी भर जाता है ये छोटी बच्ची है मां-बाप चले जाते हैं काम करने के लिए चौका बर्तन करने के लिए ये बेचारी
look at this house this gets full of water
पूरा मकान गिरता पानी से भर जाता है
the whole house drips with water and it gets drowned in water and there's just this one small girl the parents go to work and she poor thing she just bails out the water the whole day Everybody has to wade through all this muck. And we have asked for a drain to be made here, but our people say that they have asked for it and they have permission, but nothing happens.
ये सब पूरा एकदम पानी भर जाता, गिर गया रहा सब, फिर मुमिया-मुमिया डाल लेने से, इसमें हमारी सास रहती हैं.
My mother-in-law lives in this house and it's fallen down. The roof came down and we've put plastic and everything, but when it rains, it falls down again and then we have to...
चलो चलो चलो, पानी गिरता सब बेचारे रात भर सोते नहीं हैं, सब ऐसे ही परेशान रहते हैं.
When it rains, nobody gets to sleep at night. The houses are full of water.
कोई नहीं है, अब इनके लिए कोई हो तो लिखा पढ़ी करे थोड़ा बहुत.
This old lady here, she has nobody. She's alone and she's ill at this moment and there's nobody to look after her. Nobody to see whether she's had a proper meal or not. Her house drips. Neighbors try to help, but how much can they do?
A little local god neglected his job. So as penance, his boss, the god of gods, ordered him to be separated from his wife for a whole year. And there he pined away. Until one auspicious day, what did he see but a cloud in the shape of an elephant emerging over the crest of the hill where he was doing his pining.
September the 15th. I reread Kalidasa's Meghduta today, the greatest poem ever written in praise of a cloud, period. The English translation was pretty wooden, so I spent the afternoon making my own potted version, with apologies to Kalidas.
Now the sight of rain clouds makes even the happiest heart long to hold in one's arms the lover who is far, far away. And our little Yaksha was particularly anxious to let his beloved know she was in his thoughts. So he gathered fresh blossoms of wild jasmine and offered them to the cloud. Giver of rain, you alone can help the lovelorn. please take a message to my beloved in the north. Wherever you pass, women separated from their husbands feel a bit better, because they know that no husband who really loves his wife would leave her alone when you appear. Your thunder is the sweetest of sounds to human ears, and it brings hope to the earth and to the animals. Now let me tell you how and where to find my beloved, and some of the many things you'll find on your way that will let you know you're on the right road. Peasant women will drink you in with their eyes, moist with happiness, because they know their harvest depends on you. Antelope will guide your path as you pass overhead, shedding fresh raindrops on them. Now, I know you're going to try and go as fast as possible for my sake, but there are going to be a lot of distractions. The scent of fresh wild jasmine on mountaintops will do a number on you. Peacocks, overjoyed to see you, will call out to you, but don't stop. You'll come to the city of Vidisha and to the Vetravati River. I envy you. Your booming thunder will roll along the banks of the river, quickening her heart, causing goosebumps on her skin. You and the river will taste each other's lips. What you do next is your affair. You're both adults. Anyway, after that, take a rest on Nikai Hill, then set out again, please. Sprinkle the jasmine buds in the woods with some of your freshest little raindrops. Use your shadow to caress the bare shoulders of young girls out collecting flowers. Oh, and please make a detour and go to Ujjaini. The women there are famous for their beauty. Flirt with them. Excite, fright them with your lightning. Enjoy them and let them enjoy you, my friend. If you didn't give in to their attractions, you couldn't really say you'd live now, could you, my friend? The dawn breeze there is scented with the fragrance of lotus blossoms. You'd be amazed how it refreshes the weary limbs of women utterly exhausted by the previous night's passions. That breeze is very, very skilled in foreplay. Look how it reawakens desire in the beloved in the most subtle and suggestive of ways, caressing a lock of hair, tightening cloth over breast to awaken fresh desires, making sport with a summer dress to reveal a shapely leg or unblemished thigh. Your raindrops will also rejuvenate the tinkling ankles of temple dancers, and your lightning can help young women who set out in the black of night to meet their lovers. But please, no thunder and no rain. They're so nervous you'll ruin their night if you show off. Some women will remove their clothes for you and bathe in your pools. If you can't resist and they won't let you go, then scare them with some of your thunder. But eventually you will find my wife, slim-waisted, with deep navel and the tremulous eyes of a startled doe, moving languidly, her body bowed a little by the weight of her gorgeous breasts. Her eyes will be swollen from weeping. Her face will be hidden by her tresses, like the moon is made miserable when you cast your shadow over it. She will see you and ask if you remember me. Shed some gentle tears upon her. Cool her with your soft breeze and give her your message. Oh, unwidowed lady, I am your husband's dear friend. A rain cloud, come to tender you his message that I have kept close to my heart all this long journey. For it is my lot to bring good tidings to all those who are separated at this time from their lovers, and to speed them safely home so that they can be reunited. And when you've delivered this love note, then wander wherever you decide. Give joy and happiness wherever you shed your gentle rains. And may you never be separated from the lightning for even an instant.
Monsoon was conceived, recorded and produced by Julian Crandall Hollick and Indu Agrawal. The program was edited and mixed by Fernando Ruiz del Prado. Assistants in India included Divakar and Geeta Mittal, and many sings great and small in central UP. The actors were Pradeep Krishan, Akbar Zaheer, Rana Ghosh, Radhika Sareen, and Nandita Das. The music was arranged by Shubha Shankaran and performed by Tariq Khan, Radhika Sareen, Humayun Khan, and Shubha Shankaran. Special thanks to the Massachusetts Cultural Council for encouraging the original idea for this program. The executive producer for Monsoon is Martine Crandall-Hollick.